Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy. Glad to have my boy Ray Jeezy back on the show. What's going on, Ray? You're back. You know what I'm saying? Will and I held it down last week.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I had to take a week off, but I've been listening and I've been watching the sports world. Of course, I'm glad to talk sports with you guys because we're not impulsive. Sports fans, we're not impulsive sports media personalities either. Just like these folks out here talking about Trae Young is compared to Reggie Miller now in terms of his garden trolling and his dropping and Matt Squad. It's like, dude, he got a lot more work to do before he gets to the Reggie level. Come on now, Will. You know, Knicks is your squad, too.
Knicks are my squad, but first of all, I got froze out the week before, and now you're happy. Ray's back.
I have to.
Not happy. I'm here.
Bruh.
Listen,
don't
man,
do that.
I don't do that. I really am not. I am very underappreciated on this show.
That's a lie. Actually, real talk. Hey, that's a lie. Real talk. That's a lie. Folks, the streets we're talking about, Will T. No, everybody appreciates Will T. Will T, if you was on social media, you would know that you're very appreciated, dog. And that's keeping it all the way 100, dog.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
George came to your rescue.
George
came to your rescue. He was like, we did you dirty. So George did agree with you, though. The homie George agreed with you.
I appreciate that, George. If you're listening to this episode, I appreciate you, man. But enough with that. I'm happy to be here. I'm also happy that Ray is back. Mm-hmm. And it's been some interesting times these past couple of days and weeks about sports, but we'll get into that later on in the show.
Yeah, but Ray, wait, Reggie Miller? I mean, we can't anoint people Reggie status though, bro. Like, you can't, I mean, we grew up watching.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't do that, man. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we shouldn't, yeah. But look at the times we're in, man. Nice. Like, people, it's all about the instant gratification. It's mm-hmm. about what's happening now, what's the greatest, so.
Facts.
You know, for people to make that comparison, I don't agree with it. But you know, for the most part, the Knicks haven't been relevant in 20 some odd years. Mm-hmm. So whenever people get that feeling,
yeah.
And they, you know, the closest thing they can equate it to is Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, and the Garden.
Yeah, I guess they need another light skinned brother, right, to kind of hold down the Garden. Is that what it is now?
Yep.
I guess, man. Folks are crazy, man.
So.
Folks are crazy. Hey, again, you're listening to the Urban you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're part of Empire Media. You check us out at AmpireMedia.com. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Kahn Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kahn, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news, health, and of course, the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene sports bloggers and sports podcasters and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards playoff series against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Wizards are down 3-1 in the series. At 8:25, we'll talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs. Finally, in the world of boxing, we'll talk about Devin Haney defeating Jorge Linares over the weekend. Interesting. Good fight. Actually, it was a real good fight. But first, yesterday, the Washington Wizards defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 122-114 to avoid a sweep. The Sixers are up 3-1 in the series. Thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to be Captain Obvious and talk about all of the various highlights of the game that mm-hmm. clearly contributed to the outcome. We already know what they were. Mm-hmm. But what strikes me as interesting is prior to the game, when Doc Rivers was alerted that Daniel Gafford would be starting, he referenced that Gafford's speed is something that gives the Sixers problems, meaning Gafford can beat Joel Embiid up and down the court. Mm-hmm. And I just said to myself, the Wizards have to play with pace in order to beat a bigger team. And Scott Brooks could not achieve that in large part because these guys were not knocking down shots. And that's the biggest issue for the Wizards. Ish, Neto, Bertans, Russ, these guys all were cold. Even Brad in the last game was not at his best shooting the basketball. If the Wizards have any shot at making this a competitive series down the stretch, they're going to have to run and get these big guys moving, get Philly out in transition, and make their open shots. And I promise you, if they do that, they could potentially force a game 7 with Embiid's injury status up in the air.
Will? You want me to go? I can go. No, I can definitely go. I think that,
You say you got
Oh, no, my bad. Now, I had it on mute.
Oh, okay. Cool. No, you good? On you, Will.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to start by giving credit where credit's due, Ray, because Ray said that the Wizards would at least get one game. Mm-hmm. Last week, Wole, when you and I were discussing the game, we pretty much called it a sweep.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't think Washington would get one game. But the caveat.
Yeah.
What?
No, go ahead, Will. I think there's a reason for that, but go ahead.
the caveat is that Joel Embiid was injured, but you know that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to lie and say I watched all the game. I watched part of the game because I thought that the Sixers were going to just go out and get a sweep. One of the things that impressed me thoroughly was how loud Capital One Arena was. You know, the fans were packed in there. They were extremely passionate. Hadn't had a lot to cheer about over the past 365, in particular with the Wizards and with the COVID restrictions being lifted. We saw, kind of some of that magic that we've seen in Chinatown that we saw during the Gilbert Arenas years and earlier on with John Wall and Bradley Beal. But one thing that's interesting to me is even though the Wizards won, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, it seemed as if Russell Westbrook from the field wasn't particularly
like 3 for 19 last time. I think I want to say 3 for 19.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, something like that.
That's, in order for this team to continue to stretch the series out, you're going to have to get a more efficient play from Russell Westbrook. And with Ben Simmons, kind of switching off between him and Bill, one of the things that's really been highlighted to me that I've kind of, been kind of not really paying attention to is Ben Simmons really is having a very strong year defensively.
He is a very good year defensively. Still need to work on them free throws, though. I mean, that's ridiculous. To the point of in this series, it's more, it's a bad matchup if everybody's healthy, right? We said this before, like this is not the ideal matchup for the Wizards, going into the postseason. But they are playing with heart. Westbrook's playing with heart. Beal is, just a flat out scorer. To Ray's point, they should run the court, and play that style. But the issue is when you play, and I mean this, and I don't know, it is what it is. What we see in the regular season and playoff basketball is totally different. And especially when you're playing a good defensive team, and the Sixers team makes it hard for the Wizards to even be efficient. So, for instance, Ray's talking about open threes and missing shots. You're right. They are missing open threes, but they are contested open threes. Like, these dudes rotate really well. Like, the Sixers rotate well. Ben, you saw numerous occasions where, they were out of place, but they rotated fast enough to at least, attempt to put a hand up there. Now, granted, I agree with you, Ray, some of the knockdown shooters that you expect for them to make baskets, even with the hand in their faces, they're not, they're cold. But I do think that the way the Sixers play defense and the length, regardless of how we, I trash Danny Green, but he's a decent defender in today's basketball. You got Tybal. How do you say his name? The number 22. Thybulle. You got Ben Simmons. These are Thybulle and Ben are elite defenders on the wing. Like, those are elite defenders. So it's just hard. It's a hard when you get into the half court game. It's hard to kind of buckle down. But in the postseason, that's what it is, though, right? We've seen over our years of watching basketball, we see all these run and gun teams. But the issue with that is that you in the half court, you're going to have to be efficient. And if you're not efficient on the half court game, then you're going to have issues when you play against a good defense.
So you nailed it. And the Wizards have struggled in the half court, and that comes back to coaching.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is we've had discussions throughout the year about Davis Bertans, who has not lived up to his contract. And the growing sentiment is that he has still not fully adjusted to playing with Russ. Of course, a lot of the Wall fans are saying this team was designed to have John Wall running the ship. And you know what? I don't necessarily disagree, but Bertans, in my opinion, he made himself limited. And that's on him, and it's also, again, on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But, Wole, look at the first game of this series.
Yeah.
And it was close. Now,
yeah.
In part, and B was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
But the Wizards were making their open shots. Bertans had his best game in the series,
yeah,
game one. When you're moving that rock and you're getting out of transition, Philly can't keep up with you, and that's the pace the Wizards have to play with. You have to impose your will against a better opponent.
Yeah.
Now, people talk about the injuries for Philly now. Obviously, that plays a role.
Yeah.
But Denny is out for the season. Denny would have brought size. Denny was getting better as a defender, and Denny could shoot an open three. He was somebody that could fill that role when Bertans was out. So I don't want to hear about that. And Brad obviously was banged up, but he came in this series healthier. And the schedule of this series has also helped with you having 2 days all between these games. So now I feel like if you're the Washington, smell blood in the water and screw what everybody else is saying. You have had your share of injuries. You had the worst COVID outbreak of the season for any NBA team.
Yeah.
It's time to man up. Next man up, as they say, for Philly. But Philly clearly is limited without Joel in the lineup because Tobias Harris, Danny Green, they've had some big moments, but that's not them.
Yeah.
It's not them. I promise you that.
But it's the issue, like the thing. It goes back to this, though. You're right. It's not them. It's not them for real. Like they're better with Embiid. Like everybody knows that. They're more of a dominant team when Embiid, a healthy Embiid. Like you see the difference when he's on the floor, how that team works defensively and offensively. It's a little bit of both, right? Because defensively, Embiid's that anchor down low, and he's still one of the top defenders as a big. And then in terms of offensively, you see that like the conundrum that he puts the Wizards in. They don't even know if they want to double or not. You know, they tried a game when they didn't double, and you saw what happened. They tried a game when they did double, and you saw what happened. They both had bad – it was about bad outcomes in both of those two games, games two and three. So, like, when you have Embiid, it's definitely put the Sixers on a different level. But I will say this, though. We still have to talk about the Wizards in this context about those other players. That defense isn't strong. It's just not a good defense. Even what we watched – When B went down, look who got out. Like Seth was getting out, and this is on the road, bro. This is on the road. Seth was getting out. Maxey was insane. Like you can't allow that at home, and especially in an elimination game to have those role players feel that confident to come out and play well. You know what I'm saying? Like now you're going to Philly, and we know this by just watching basketball. Like role players play way better at home than they do on the road. So now you got to really tighten up defensively. You can't let those dudes get off with those open shots that we saw. Like Steph Curry coming off the screen gets wide open looks, bro. That's not even hard for him. He gets wide open looks, not even a contest. That defense has to tighten up.
Well, you hit it on the head, though. The mindset for Philly in that game four was we need to close these dudes out because we know we may not have our guys.
Facts.
And they couldn't get the job done. Now, mentally, I want to see how Philly comes out because they've been the mentally tougher team, clearly.
Yeah.
The Wizards, I thought, were going to come out and play carefree. We're the eighth seed, we're the underdog, we're not supposed to be. I thought they were just going to – and game one, it looked like that.
It was, though.
Then, it's like mentally they've been shook. And, again, that comes down to your coaching staff preparing you. Like, just go out and hoop, Brad. Go out and show the world now that you play on this national stage that you're a star, dude. And he's had his moment.
Yeah.
But – it's not what I expected. Now the Wizards mentally, I think, going to Philly, they see an opportunity. And if they don't come out ready to play, I would be shocked. But Danny Green sounded defeated after that game.
Mm.
He sounded like I don't know if we can necessarily win this series if we don't get this next game. That's what I took from his comments, if you haven't read them.
I got to check it out. Hey, so, Will, I mean, you know, I talked about Ben Simmons, you know, having to make free throws. Did you give Scott Brooks props for the Hacker Simmons strategy?
Lack of a better strategy. Yeah, I mean, Ben Simmons is no. I mean, listen, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons defensively has been a stalwart for this mm-hmm. team. You know, the first 4 games. But offensively, Ben Simmons leaves a lot to be desired if you're Doc Rivers. And let's be frank, if you're the players who play on the court with him, you know, just his reluctancy to take open jump shots, his reluctancy to take threes, and his need to get into the lane and be so ball dominant to mm-hmm. just to be a contributor offensively. Mm-hmm. So taking all those things into account, with nothing else to lose, and Scott Brooks just going to the, okay, let's foul Ben Simmons and make him earn it for them at the line, earn the win for them at the line, you know, it's an interesting strategy, and ultimately it worked. It was successful, and that coupled with Joel Embiid mm-hmm. led to a win.
Ray, you have props with us with Scott Brooks? You know, starting Gafford, the hacker Ben Simmons. Like, should Scott Brooks get a lot of credit for what happened yesterday?
No, of course not. Come on, Bolay. I took a break from social media. But even before I took a break from social media last several days, you saw all of the Wizards fans, all of those who cover this team saying, when is he going to employ the hacker bench strategy?
I know, bro. I know. That's what I'm laughing. That's what I'm laughing.
Something that everybody's been screaming for forever. Scott Brooks, and I'll give him credit for getting desperate. Like, finally, he seems like he knows something that we don't know. He seems very comfortable in his position as coach. And I don't like his body language. I like Robert Pack on the sideline, you know, throwing down his clipboard, stomping his feet, getting frustrated with these guys when he sees the lack of effort, when he sees, you know, them not coming together on defense, when it's clear that the pick and roll is coming and you're still not prepared for it. It's like they run it time and time
again. Over and over again, man.
I also don't give Bruce credit just for that. When you watch Philly's offense, you see a team that moves the ball. You see pick and rolls. You see guys moving. The Wizards is like one pass and we go. If you watch the Hawks series, Nate McMillan in the huddle, he said, guys, if we're going to just do one pass and shoot, they can defend that easily.
Yeah.
We have to move the ball, rotate the ball. But Scott Brooks, it's like, Brad, just get the ball and go. Or whoever gets the ball. And then you have Russ taking shots early in the shot clock, and he's not falling. Again, I know Russ is your guy, coach, but if you are a coach, you have to say, this is not working, bro.
Yeah.
We have to move the ball. Russ, your J is not falling. Get to the basket. That's where you're most effective right now. And thankfully, Russ's free throw shooting has been better this series.
Yeah.
So no, Scott Brooks doesn't get any credit except for becoming desperate.
But I want to be a little more. I'm gonna be a little positive. I'm not going to talk about Brooks because you know how I agree with you. Everything you said, I agree with. But I do want to talk about my man Rui. Like, he stepped up. Like, I feel like we got to give Rui some love tonight.
Finally got double digits.
Finally got that. The three ball from the corner was almost automatic, to be honest with you. I feel like that's his three. Like, he's gonna shoot the corner three. That's fine. All them other threes, don't even shoot them. But the corner three seems like that suits him. That's the, you know, obviously the, I call it, if P.J. Tucker can shoot it, Rui can shoot it. So I think Rui was fine. Like, he played a great game in terms of, like, inside out. It's funny because for Rui to have a good game, he's got to be efficient, right? Because he don't get with so many touches. So he got to be efficient.
He's always efficient. Though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he's got to, it's crazy because he has to be ultra efficient that put up 20 because he gets limited touches. You dig what I'm saying? Like, he got
you know what I'm saying? Maximum 12 shots.
Exactly. So, yeah. So you got Brad who take 20
he
shots.
He got to impose his will, though. He got to impose his will. That's what he frustrates.
I agree with you, Ray.
It's so clear.
Ray, he defers. But when you got somebody just mapped out on the corner and acting like that's his only game to be a spot-up shooter, you kind of set the tone for that, bro. Like, I'm sorry, but there's things in coaching where you can kind of, not to say you're forcing him to be assertive, but you can put him in positions where he feels comfortable. The issue is he's not comfortable in the positions that they have him at. That's the truth. Like, if you gave him the ball in the block. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You good?
No, if I say you give him the ball in the mid post, I guarantee mm-hmm. he's taking more shots. Can guarantee you. But if you're giving him
And you've been preaching that all year, bro, and I don't disagree with that. My issue with him is sometimes, and a lot of times, especially during the regular season, not as much this series, but let's say he somehow ends up with Steph Curry on him. Mm-hmm. He'll take a couple dribbles, and then he'll pick it up and he'll look for Brad. He'll throw the ball right back out. And I'm like, no, this is where you need to turn your back to the basket, back him down, force him to W, and then find the open guy. Yeah. And again, it comes down to there's no movement in the Wizards' half court offense, which is why they have to play with pace and they have to play out in transition.
Yeah, they defer. I mean, it's a culture thing. They defer to Brad, so you know,
exactly.
That's what it is. It's a culture thing. They just defer to Brad. They want it's Brad's team. That I mean, lack of a better term, it's Brad's team.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them to kind of get away from that. But like speaking of Game Five, you know, as I'm gonna start with you, Ray, since you know Wizards fan, as a true Wizards fan, how confident
are
you?
I'm the man. I'm the man.
Yeah, that's the reason why you're a Wizards fan. All right. how confident are you? You know, in Game Five, knowing that Embiid's out, or does it for you? Wouldn't even matter. Would you be confident for the team?
No,
if
that does not. It does not change how I feel about the team's approach, because I just received a text from a good friend saying Dwight Mayer is going to come in the game and take over. If we see Dwight Howard from the bubble last year, then while it's a drop off, you still will have an issue in the middle in terms of offensive rebounding and Philly getting second chance opportunities, which has killed Washington at home. But Dwight Howard can't shoot free throws as well either. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to use all your fouls if you're Lynn, if you're Rolo, if you're Gasper, you're going to have to wrap up. Finally, Scott Brooks started to play Anthony Gill as well.
Yeah,
use his six fouls if you need to. You're going to have to employ whatever desperate strategies that you have to in order to get back in the series. Because if you can get this game and you go back home, then again, I don't like Philly's confidence coming back to Washington. Mm. So it doesn't necessarily change, because we're talking about the Wizards, and we don't know what Wizards team is going to show up. However, that's the beauty of the Wizards. This whole season, they can beat teams like Utah. They swept Utah. They swept Denver. They swept the Lakers. But yet they'll lose to Orlando at home twice in a row. So that's the beauty. Then we know they can go out and compete with the best. And with Dwight Howard, again, employ your fouls, man. Garrison Matthews, whoever you need to bring in the game, use those fouls. Put those guys at the line. And I'm telling you, have a shot at the end.
Will T, what do you think?
Look, even without Joel Embiid, I think – so let me step back a sec. It's a difference between you planning to play a game with Joel Embiid and you planning for the Wizards without Joel Embiid. And I think given 24 hours and just given the disparagement or the wide gap in the level of talent on the Wizards and the 76ers, I think, Doc Rivers and that coaching staff, they'll deploy a strategy or a game plan that utilizes the talents that they have with the 76ers, you know, which probably consists of more Tobias Harris and also incorporating Dwight Howard on the pick and roll, high pick and rolls, and with him running to the rim and with those shooters around him. I think Philadelphia wins.
I think you made an excellent point with, you know, the doc element, you know what I mean, the coaching element of things. You know, you give him an opportunity to coach up, coach his team towards, you know, towards having not having Embiid. I think that's a big deal. Like, I do think when we look at comparing the coaches and seeing how one's going to make adjustments, because it's about the postseason, it's about adjustments. I think you give Doc the nod. But, you know, obviously, if you're a Wizards fan, if you're a Wizards player, I don't care what you tell me, you know, what anybody tries to say, they feel better than it, that with an Embiid being doubtful, because he's doubtful. They feel better. You know what I mean? There's an element of, all right, Embiid's not going to be here. Our chances are much better. Now, granted, you play hard, but I'm saying there is an element of, okay, our chances are better. And I'm not saying it's Brad, but there are players on that team that probably feel a little bit better that Embiid's going to be out. And feel a little bit more confident. So we'll see what happens, man. I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I think that the key, the spotlight's going to be on Ben Simmons, to be honest with you. I think that's the dude's going to have all the pressure in the world on him. All right, we'll talk about.
Nah, man, Russ, that popcorn, bro. He's going to be pissed. He's going to come drop.
Oh, that's that popcorn. You ain't lying about that. We'll talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Site for ages. You dig? Deuces. To reach the stars. Top push you cool, turn to diamonds, and blind men's visions become
of God, but closer it's hard. The attacks get stronger, become much harder to fight, and it lasts longer. That's what it's always been. Joy with the pain, dark with the light, sun with the rain. But with the right perspective, there's something to gain. Look for the good and the bad, not the sun when it rains.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole, and Ray Jeezy, part of Empire Media.
All right, fellas, a friend of the Urban Sports Scene. Of course, y'all know what I'm talking about. PG County's own Monty Williams and the LA Lakers, the Phoenix Suns and the LA Lakers. Of course, tied 2-2. Anthony Davis looking as though he is questionable for this game. We're not sure if he's going to play. What do you guys expect? And this now, what is a best of three series heading back to Phoenix? Well, late, you are the Lakers fan.
You know it, bro. It's a crazy series. It's gonna be a tough one. You know, I said this before, man. I told you that, you know, Ayton gonna be a problem, and he is. And I think Chris Paul is getting healthier. So this is a game for me as a Laker fan. I feel like, you know, if you're the Lakers, I mean, a Laker fan, but if you're the Lakers, the players, this is a must win. And you gotta go into this game. As your LeBron James is setting the tone. I'm talking about the LeBron James that we saw years ago when he played Boston in that elimination game where he pretty much didn't miss a single shot for a minute and took over that game. Or the LeBron who lost to the Golden State Warriors in the finals with, you know, that J.R. Smith game, that game where he scored like 50 and J.R. Smith made like had a brain fart or whatever. So like that LeBron got to show up. Like that LeBron has to set the tone. If he don't set the tone, because you're probably not going to have Anthony Davis, like nobody else is going to be able to create real off. I mean, Dennis Schroeder, but you don't really know what you're going to get. Dennis Schroeder. You don't really know what you're going to get out of him because he's not consistent. But you need LeBron to set the tone. Like, he got to be, lack of a better term or phrase, he got to be playoff LeBron. Like, he really does. This can't be.
Well, hey.
What's up?
Who's going to be Boobie Gibson and Damon Jones?
That's the question. Like I'm saying, like, that's what it is. Oh, who's going to be? I'm gonna go with Ben McLemore, man. I think Ben McLemore could be it because he's not scared. He's a scorer. Like he's a natural real scorer. So he's not scared to take a shot. You know what I'm saying? You got guys who don't believe in their jumpers or whatnot. But on the flip side, again, you look at, you know, the Suns and what they got going, momentum. I mean, they won a big game in LA. Booker, you know, he's showcasing his talent. And Ayton, I just feel like, you know, I'm gonna keep giving dude praises, dog. Like this dude is showing the whole world. And this is why I'm glad that folks get to see young people, young ballers that they don't really hear about on national TV and playoff time, because you're getting to see the true skill set of this young man. Like this dude got talent. Booker's a star. We see him in the All-Star game. We see him drop like 70 in the game, in the regular season. But this dude here with Booker and Chris Paul just being a mentor to both of them, you're looking at a duo that can probably run this league for years if done correctly. And they got the coach in Monty. Monty Williams is the dude. So they got a situation where they got a hell of a young talent, a tandem in those two. So it's going to be an interesting series.
Whoa, Lay. You talked about McLemore confidence. Cameron Payne is my guy who just – I love his confidence. I don't care if he misses. He takes that shot knowing it's going in. So I'm thinking he's going to be the key for Phoenix, coming off that bench, providing that spark when CP's out on the floor, being that general.
Just don't say
Cameron Payne has been awesome, dude. Yeah. I know he probably don't worry you.
He don't
but
worry
I just feel like
me.
He's confident.
But he's confident.
I know.
He don't worry
about
me.
I know. He's
Jay Crowder.
I know he don't.
Jay Crowder
don't like to worry you.
I know. Not like Jay Crowder don't like say. Look, the only person that like don't honestly the only person that worries me is what's the kid from Carolina? Because I think he could flat out shoot. I think Cam Johnson.
Oh, Cam?
Yeah, I think he could flat out shoot. Like, I think he really
LA, he did not shoot as well as I thought he was going to. It kind of disappointed me a bit. And Jay Crowder hit the dagger. I thought about you.
But how many shots he missed, man, bro? Like I said, like, it's bubble dude,
oh,
man.
Oh, he struggled.
He's a bubble dude,
so we
bro.
We don't play out Jay Crowder.
He a bubble dude, man.
He's not even a bubble dude. He's a Wizards guy. He used to kill the Wizards. That's about it.
Man.
But Jay Crowder, I won't lie. He's kind of got that Lance Stevenson feel to him in terms of him messing with LeBron, but he's going to piss LeBron off. LeBron go for like 40.
I hope
so
he do.
He got to be careful.
I hope, man. Hey, Will, you love Jay Crowder, dog? You like that dude, bro? Because I can't stand that dude, man. Are you a Jay Crowder guy?
I don't have I mean, I don't feel any way about them, you know.
It annoys me, man.
You know,
I think one of
the biggest thing both of you guys have, and I'm disappointed neither one of you mentioned this, but both superstars for both of these teams, the Lakers with LeBron and Chris Paul with the Suns, both of them have a built-in excuse.
Injury?
If LeBron loses, then it was the injury to Anthony Davis. If Chris Paul loses, then it's Scott Foster. Scott Foster did it, you know?
Scott Foster?
Pointed out in his post-game conference.
Foster? The ref?
Yeah, he said he's 0 for 12. I think, was it 0 for 12? 0 for 12 the last 12 games that Scott Foster refereed. So if Scott Foster gets the assignment in games 5-7.
Are you serious?
Chris Paul will blame that loss.
Is that what is this
Foster.
What we do? Is that what he's doing?
Absolutely.
I hope not.
That's what he's doing, man.
But you know what? Chris Paul, like I've always said this, Chris Paul and well, I'm not gonna talk about LeBron. Everybody know what LeBron gets. But Chris Paul gets hated off like for like the dumbest stuff in terms of playoff success. You know, he's had some bad luck, man. Like his play in the playoffs hasn't really been predicated on him having bad play. He's been hurt, and other players that he's played with haven't stepped up. You know what I'm saying? So Chris Paul, like even in the Clippers series, with the Clippers, there would be series where Blake Griffin didn't show up. Chris Paul was, you know, trying to hold him down, but Blake didn't show up. So I always feel bad for Chris Paul. Like when he got the shoulder injury, I was like, dang, bro. Like this is an opportunity, and you know what I'm saying? This is gonna hinder your chances, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm glad he's gotten healthier because again, I have that much respect for Chris Paul, so I do want to see a healthy Chris Paul put in some work. But yeah, man, like he gets hated on though, bro. Will T, like I don't know if there's excuses for him. Like they don't care about his excuses.
Well, I will say this. I just checked in the NBA.com website and the referee assignment. Scott Foster is not refereeing tonight's game with the Lakers versus the Suns. So no excuses for Chris Paul. Go out there, ball, and you'll win. You know, but seriously, though. DeAndre Ayton, he's kind of taking is it me or he's taking like a step up?
Oh man,
you know,
time.
With his play during this series. You know, I'm not going to say I watched a lot of Suns games, but I did try to catch them when they were on, just because, you know, one, I'm a huge fan of their coach Monty Williams. You know, came on and did an interview with the Urban Sports team with you two guys. I wasn't able to attend that interview, but I follow this story very closely, and I'm a huge fan of him as a person, as a man.
Of course, yeah.
So I try to catch their games. And, you know, I watched DeAndre Ayton during the regular season. And, you know, he played above average, right?
Yeah.
Nothing phenomenal. But it seems as if during this first round series against the Lakers, he's definitely taken his play to another level,
definitely.
Both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think he has, man. Defensively, definitely, you know, on the screen roll. I mean, he's rolling hard to the basket. He's finishing around the basket. He's finishing with toughness and aggression. So that's something that I think he lacked a little bit in the regular season, but he's playing with more aggression in the postseason. And again, this is talent that everybody knows he has. Like this has been stated. We're talking about the most, I guess he was a top high school kid going into Arizona. So everybody knew about him, knew he's supposed to be this kind of guy. So I'm just, you know, I mean, again, Phoenix got ballers, and like you said, Will, he's brought his game to the next level in the postseason, which you do want your guys to do, your big time dudes, your big time studs to do in the postseason. You know, bring your A game. Not like my man Kyle Kuzma, who's been kind of quiet and obsolete right now, which has really been annoying for me as a Laker fan. But let's go to the next series, man. Let's go to the Trailblazers series. Trailblazers and the Nuggets are also – the Denver Nuggets are also tied 2-2. That game is at 9 o'clock. Who do you have winning the series, and who do you think balls out the night? I'm going to start with my man, Will T.
Again, I'm getting frozen out.
What are you talking about?
That was
read?
My read.
Hey,
that
you're not getting frozen out?
Read.
Hey, dude.
See, once again, man, I was frozen out. Listen, I don't know what's going on here, man.
You're doing a lot of talking right now, though.
I think both of you guys are getting paid behind the scene and then excluding me in any payday.
Hey, whoa, this is not the NWA. This ain't no NWA thing.
I'm joking, No, I'm joking with you, with y'all. But no, this is actually the series that I've been paying closer attention to. Mm-hmm. To me, this is the, out of all of the series, this is probably the series where the teams, in my opinion, are more evenly matched, mm-hmm. even though it's a 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply because Denver is missing Jamal Murray. And it's been interesting to see, you know, kind of Jokic.
Y'all
always butcher their name.
It's Jokic. I say the Joker. I know what I say to make it easier in my life. I know. You say Joker. I say the Joker. I'm good. I'm good
Nikola
with saying the Joker.
Jokic.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you can say the Joker. Will T. Say the Joker, man. Everybody says the Joker, dude.
No, just because, you know, he's been named as one of the three finalists for the MVP. And he, without Jamal Murray, even though they traded for Aaron Gordon, he has been essentially the offense for them, from scoring, playmaking. He's been doing it all just to keep this team even with the Portland Trailblazers. And if we think about this Portland Trailblazers team that, you know, that hasn't gone to maybe the levels that we would, some people expect or thought they should have, having Dame Lillard, having C.J. McCollum. This is probably the most talented Trailblazers team that one of the more talented Trailblazers team that Dame Lillard has had since he's kind of ascended to that star level. And ultimately, I think they will get past the Denver Nuggets. It'll be a 7, but I think they'll get past the Nuggets.
Yeah, I like Melo to step up. I think Melo, mm-hmm. low-key, has been motivated.
Oh,
I like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, with his history with the Celtics, Melo has history in Denver. We never knew it was any type of ill will towards Melo until this series. At least for me, I was like, wow, people in Denver don't like Carmelo. Like, how don't you like Carmelo? Carmelo elevated that franchise. I feel like he should be celebrated. But now Melo has this me against the world mentality regardless, because everybody thought he was done. And Melo has balled this entire season. And, of course, it doesn't get talked about as much because of the guys he's playing alongside. Mainly Dame, though, not necessarily CJ. CJ was hurt. But I expect Melo to step up, and I expect Portland to take a 3-2 series lead.
Yeah, I think, well, like, I saw the same thing, Ray. Like, I was surprised that, you know, Melo got this type of – I mean, I guess I get it. No, to a certain – I take that back. I do get it. I know why. I won't want to play it off. I just thought they would kind of, like, get over it. You know what I'm saying? Like – we forget, like, we got to go back to that time where at that time, you know, the Nuggets weren't far off from, you know, being contenders in the West. You know, they had, I think the year before that, they struggled a little bit that season. But the year before that, they got to the Western Conference Finals and played like the Lakers. And, you know, everybody thought the Nuggets were on their way. So like J.R. Smith, you know, Melo, Chauncey Billups, you know, Kenyon Martin. So a lot of those fans, they were all for Melo. And then when Melo did say he didn't want to be there anymore, like he wanted to go to New York, that's when they kind of they went left on Melo. You know what I'm saying? So I just thought they would forget about it because, you know, Melo's getting up there in age and whatnot. And, you know, you want to kind of give him like the fanfare that he deserves because he's still one of the best all time scorers that we've seen in a long time. So, but yeah, I think the series is going to be interesting. I think it's even. I actually think the Nuggets will win the series. But I will say this, okay, to Will's point. I do think that, you know, the difference between the Nuggets and the Blazers is that Dame doesn't have to be elite every game in the series, which I do agree with Will. Like, he can lean on CJ. We've seen CJ carry the team a whole game or even down the stretch, even as ultra clutch as Dame is. We've seen CJ take over the end of the games, and that says a lot, knowing that you got Damian Lillard on your team as your star player. So you can
not only that. Yeah, I mean, not only that, but you also have Carmelo.
Yeah.
And people are forgetting about Norman Powell. Norman Powell's been playing very well for this team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, even if Dame is off, like, you can still, like, for, you know what I'm saying, you can still run it through CJ. We've seen what he can do. We know what Melo can do. Like you said, Norman Powell. But there's a lot. Like, to your point, there's a lot of parts that you could still go to if Dame isn't being Dame, right? If he's not that electric dude. But the issue with Portland, I think everybody knows this, and we all see just the same thing we talk about the Wizards. Their defense is trash. Like, Portland's defense is horrible. Like, maybe just as bad as the Wizards, to be real with you. Not like, I'm being honest. Like, it's that bad. It's a bad offense. Dame don't play defense, and I love Dame. He don't play defense. CJ tries, but not the same either. So the only thing issue is that the Joker can do what he wants, you know, if they want to, you know, go that route, just like showcase the Joker. Joker wants to be wants to be aggressive, to be an offensive scorer. And then, you know, then after that, you know, even that, if Joker is aggressive, he can always get Michael Porter Jr. the ball, and he can do some things. Real quick, though, let's talk about Ray. You got the next one, Ray? You want me to? I know, I forgot. I'm on the road, bro.
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. Check us out at empiremedia.com. The Clippers were down 2-0 to Dallas Mavericks, of course, but they have come back to tie the series. They have all the momentum returning back home. Is the Clippers just now playing better, or the Mavs choking as a young group? Oh, Mute Will is back. Don't mute DC. Don't mute Will. There we go.
And he said I'm trying to. And he talking about freezing them out. Listen, he said, I'm freezing them out.
Listen, stay on mute. No,
listen,
stay
man,
on mute.
Listen. I try to mute my phone whenever, you know, I'm not talking, just because I don't want any background noise.
Russ, it's not working, Russ. It's not working. You got to switch it up. Stop shooting them early days, man.
Oh, man.
No, look, what's funny to me is we always, well, not funny, but there's always a saying that a series doesn't start until the visiting team wins to the road team wins the game, yeah. Right? And this is just, it's like the inverse, right?
Yeah.
The Clippers went to L.A. 1-2. Now L.A. went to Dallas 1-2. The thing that's most concerning to me for the Dallas Mavericks is that injured neck of Luka Doncic. We all know Luka is the guy. He's essentially Dallas's offense. Like, he's their everything. Like, the way we talk about the Joker in Denver, Luka's essentially the same thing in Dallas, even though, you know, Luka does have a couple of guys who could step up on a night-to-night basis, specifically Kristaps Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. To help them out from a scoring perspective. But I think that the Clippers have started to find their groove with going with Reggie Jackson in the starting lineup, putting Patrick Beverley on the bench, and just some of the strategic changes that they've made. Ultimately, I think that the Clippers are going to win the next two, and they'll end up taking this one 4-2.
I agree with you, Will T. There's nothing else I can say. I agree with you. You got it, bro. You're right about that.
Yeah, I that's what's up, man. So, no one else has anything, so great. I'll do this read my first.
You're my man.
On Saturday night.
Oh, man.
Listen, gotta have fun with this.
You got to,
man.
You got to, bro. You got to.
On Saturday night, Devin Haney defeated Linares Saturday. We'll talk about this performance after the break. It's the Urban Sports Team.
On Empire Media.
On Empire Radio.
What it do? I'm your homie Wole with the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, and I'm here to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the fastest growing sports gaming platform in North America, while being the third largest daily fantasy sports platform. It's easy to play. Users don't have to spend all day analyzing salary caps and lineups like other daily fantasy sports sites. It also offers all the major sports plus UFC, golf, esports, soccer, college basketball, NASCAR, and much more. Plus, users won't compete against thousands of professionals with algorithms like other daily fantasy sports sites. That crap could be annoying. Monkey Knife Fight has various jackpot contests such as Home Run Derby, which is the MLB $5,000 jackpot on Fridays, and Eagle Eye, which is the PGA $2,500 jackpot on Thursdays. Sign up now and get your chance to win the bag. Go to www.monkeyknifefight.com. Again, that is www.monkeyknifefight.com. And don't forget to sign up using the code URBAN. Again, that's URBAN. That's URBAN, URBAN. Hey,
help me make you great.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Empire Media.
Saturday night, WBC lightweight champ Devin Haney defeated Jorge Linares by unanimous decision. Fam, what did y'all think about his performance?
I think it was a very solid performance. Now, he didn't, you know, a lot of pundits, boxing fans would have liked to seen Devin Haney go for the knockout against Jorge Linares, considering, you know, that the perception now is that Linares is not the fighter he used to be and is kind of on the back end of his career. But Devin Haney put on a masterful boxing performance, in my opinion. He was caught late in the fight, and he, you know, with a great shot. And he did something that, you know, some people thought that he wouldn't be able to do, which was take a big shot and rebound and stay on his feet and persevere. Because, you know, up to this point, we really haven't seen Devin Haney tested or taking a big shot, a big, you know, a big shot from anyone. But he persevered, he held on. And I think with this performance, it's definitely a plus for Devin Haney because it showed that not only being a masterful boxer, but he has some vulnerability. And I think with showing that vulnerability, that maybe makes Teofimo Lopez think, hey, maybe I could take this guy and maybe I can become the undisputed junior welterweight lightweight champion.
Yeah, I watched the fight. I thought he was solid. I agree with you, Will T. I thought he was solid. I thought he had a great game plan. And, you know, it just went south when he got hit, you know. But still, if you look at the totality of the fight, he was great, to be real with you. I question his punching power, but in terms of his skill set, I thought he was dope, to be real with you. To me, I had him winning nine rounds. I had him losing just three rounds. And that was pretty much after he got hit. I think some of that you can arguably say that maybe he just two rounds. Like, you can really reward Linares two rounds. But I gave him Linares three rounds. I had nine for Haney. But I thought in terms of his rounds, I mean, he was leading the fight. He dictated the fight. He did what he wanted to do. His jab game was amazing. He was slipping punches. He just got caught. And also, truth be told, and he got a lot of flack for not trying to be, you know, be in a box with his last opponent. He was in the box. Like, he was going for it. You know what I'm saying? He was going for trying to end that fight early. And so I give him credit, man. He didn't back down. And against a vet who, you know, has punching power, I thought he was definitely solid. And I think he is in a position to fight certain individuals that are calling him out.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I know we're going to talk about his future and possible opponent coming up. But unfortunately for Devin Haney, everything you guys said is correct, but styles make fights. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we had Armand Lee as a guest, and he said, man, I would love to see Tank versus Ryan Garcia. That's going to be an Undertaker-Kane casket match. Like,
yeah.
People want to see exciting fights. And the casual boxing fan just has not warmed up to Devin Haney. Unfortunately, that's not good for him because his promoter, Eddie Hearn, is the hottest in the game right now. But if you ask me, I feel like Devin Haney is low on his priority list. Like, if you looked at Eddie Hearn's body language after that fight, he didn't look happy with the performance. Devin Haney was supposed to bounce back because he had fought Gamboa, and he had the most boring performance out of the top fighters that fought Gamboa.
Yeah.
So the hope was he would have a very good showing to where fans would have a buzz about him. And if you looked at, like, Eddie Hearn after the, for example, the Estrada and Gonzalez fight, he looked souped. Of course, the Canelo fight, Eddie Hearn was like, yes, I'm winning. But, dude, I could watch JoJo Diaz and feel no different than watching Devin Haney. Devin Haney's supposed to be one of the top fighters in his weight class. So it's unfortunate because I love boxing, so I love watching Devin Haney fight, and of course he's super talented.
Yeah,
but you're trying to sell tickets, you're trying to make money, especially coming off a pandemic, and right now Devin Haney is not a draw. But if I'm him, I just take the Errol Spence approach. Just whoever you get in front of you, man, bang them out, knock them down, and then eventually you'll earn yourself a big fight. But I have thoughts about what his next fight will be, simply because, not because of what I just said, but because of something Bob Arum said a while back.
All right, well, you mentioned you have thoughts on what's Devin Haney's next fight. What are those thoughts, Ray?
Well, Bob Arum, he came out and said he would love to match up Devin Haney versus Lomachenko, but only if he could have fans in the stands. All right, here we are. Fans can now be in the stands. You have many states where you can have full capacity. So I'm thinking that as long as Lomachenko has a good showing in his upcoming fight, Devin Haney versus Lomachenko is that next big fight, or actually the first real big mega fight for Devin Haney.
Yeah, I think that's Will.
No, it's interesting you say that, Ray. If I am Devin Haney, there's no way I take a Lomachenko fight. Here's why. Sooner or later, probably in the next, after Teofimo Lopez has his next defense fight, which I think is coming in the next couple of weeks on the Thriller app, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the 20th.
Devin Haney will eventually be in line to fight Teofimo Lopez, right? So there's no way you're going to throw Lomachenko in front of me and say, hey, you want a big fight? Take Lomachenko. No. I'm waiting it out. And Teofimo Lopez, you have to fight me. And when you fight me, we're going to do this for all of the belts. And if Devin Haney is as good as we all think he is, or Teofimo Lopez is as good as Bob Arum is hyping up to be, then, you know, one of those guys will walk away as the true undisputed champion of the junior, of the lightweight division.
That's a possibility. I just feel like him being Devin Haney has no bargaining power in that fight. I feel like that could easily be 65-35 Teofimo, because Devin Haney, like I said, is not a draw. As opposed to Lomachenko, I feel like that's a step up fight in preparation for a mega fight against Teofimo for the undisputed what weight is it, Will?
Lightweight
champion. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though, while it's a possibility they've had their back and forth, there's no way Devin Haney and Bill Haney are going to agree to like a 60-40 split or 65-35. I don't think Eddie Hearn would agree to that. So Lomachenko is more of a 50-50 fight. You're going to make a lot of money, and it's going to be some buzz. Yeah, because Lomachenko's coming off a loss and an injury.
Depends
also how Lomachenko looks in his next fight. And again, I'm going back to what Bob Arum said. And if I am Eddie Hearn, you see what a victory over Lomachenko did for Teofimo. That could have the same effect for Devin Haney. I don't feel like Teofimo and his dad are going to agree to anything less than like a 60-40 or 65-35 split.
Oh, I agree. I just don't know
I want to correct myself. Teofimo Lopez's next fight is this Saturday.
Oh, is this Saturday?
They rescheduled Saturday. It because of the Floyd Mayweather belt to the 20th.
I could be mistaken. I thought, I'm reading on the four-letter sports word, the four-letter, sports website.
They
have it as June.
Pro Crawford. That's what I call that. I call it Pro Crawford. When you look at, for me, I don't know if he can get 50-50, because Ray, I agree with you. Like, I like Haney. I like his style. I like the way he boxes. He's a good boxer. Like, he's really he's a very good boxer. It is what it is. But the sale, like, right, the draw of him isn't there for 50-50. You know what I'm saying? Like, but Lomachenko, regardless of just because where he was at, and he has an excuse. I mean, he's using it like the injury is an excuse about his loss to Teofimo. But I still think that's like 55, 45 or so, because Haney would, I mean, at the end of the day, I like Haney. He's a young gun. But who has he really fought in other than Linares and Gamboa? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, and it's not like he's exciting like Ryan Garcia, who knocking folks out that like everybody wants to see. He ain't like, he don't got that draw to say, yeah, I'm 50-50. Well, you know, Lomachenko stops folks and he has folks quitting. So it's, I don't know, man. It's hard. Like his draw, like back to your original point about not being a draw, that can hinder him for 50-50, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not right. Like, you know, because he's skilled, but it's not like he's a fighter. Like, all right, forget like Shakur Stevenson, right? Like, I mean, I was talking, like when I saw him fight the first time, I was like, oh, dude, a star. You know what I'm saying? Like but that skill is special. Like his skill is special. But here, like when Haney, I don't know, it's just that marketability, even with his skill, is not over the top where I can say like he's a 50-50 dude, especially when we talk about Lomachenko.
Right, you're right. You corrected me. Why
you say it like that? Ray, you're right.
When I'm wrong, I like to admit.
Sometimes
wrong,
you gotta double down, bro. Sometimes you just gotta double down to say the site is bogus.
Nah, man.
Sometimes
you're wrong, you admit it. That's what you do.
I know.
That's
you double. You darn right. I double down, Will T. It's African stubbornness. I double down.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But no.
It's not that serious. It's just a fight day, brother. It's all good. Nobody thinking about Thriller. Nobody thinking about Thriller.
I know Thriller. I know. That's what's killing me.
No, but I just don't see. I don't see the upside in if you're Devin Haney fighting Lomachenko at this point. If Lomachenko comes back and looks like one, you know, like one of the top pound for pound fighters, like he had previous to the Teofimo Lopez fight, then maybe. But if you Devin Haney, no, you just like you said, right? You bide your time. You beat whoever they put in front of you. You beat them impressively, uh-huh. And then eventually, you know, it won't be 50-50.
Yeah,
it may be 60. You may be able to negotiate 60-40 at best, or may, you know, 60-40 at best. But you go in and you fight Teofimo Lopez and you go and you beat him, then you are the star of boxing, opposed to you being, you know, taking what may be the harder pass with beating Lomachenko in a fight that stylistically is going to be a hard fight for the judges to judge, mm-hmm. for you to look impressive against a guy like Teofimo Lopez who is a boxer but who tends to come forward.
But so all right,
so let's
question.
Go over time real quick.
I have a real question. One quick question. Like, so all right, I don't know if y'all said it, but what? How about? I mean, Ryan Garcia and Tank. That's not official, is it? Is Ryan Garcia?
Ryan Garcia is on a break. He's on a break. Tank is fighting.
But so saying so. I mean, so he could.
Ryan Garcia is on a break.
Oh, he on break?
Yeah.
Oh, I know he's on break.
Yeah, he took a mental health break.
Oh, for real?
He's not lined up to fight anybody right now. But okay. Tank's fight is coming up.
Okay, so I was thinking that maybe that could be a dude that he can try to get at. Like, I think that would be all right fight just to see how contrast the styles. Like, one is the puncher and one is the boxer. That's always a sexy sale.
See, Devin Haney is so young, so he's got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. He's really young. And watching like how Jerron Ennis has continued to come up, I feel as though he can take a similar path. But if I'm Al Haymon, and this is me being biased, I would dangle Gary Antoine Russell out there, because think about after Antoine's performance this past weekend. Mm-hmm. What did he say in his press conference? He said, I will fight Tank if Tank moves up to 140. Since he wouldn't fight my brother, I'll fight him. Well, Devin Haney tried to fight your brother, and you had the weight that Devin Haney is going to be at.
Facts.
Why not make that fight happen? That would be a really good fight. Antoine has way more power than Haney. Son.
Yeah, he does.
It would be a dope fight.
He do got more power than Haney. That would be an interesting fight. You know what I'm saying? We all know how most of us think about Antoine Russell in terms of his skill set.
That's my favorite boxer.
Yeah, I mean, I love his skill set, man. I like his demeanor too. I think
after Broner though. He going in house. He going after Adrian Broner.
That's a good look though.
His performance on Saturday.
That's a good look That's a good look. Like, I think that's the type of boxer that he, you know, it's an upgrading talent. You know what I'm saying? But also there's a name to it, and it's a very, very beatable name to it. So I think it's a good look for him in terms of trying to get himself get himself to the next level. I think, you know, I think once he gets the opportunity, it's a wrap, though. I think folks will know all they need to know about Antoine. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just real talk. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Will T, you're a believer too, right, Will T?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a man. Believer. I'm anticipating when he does take that next step up in the level of competition, man, mm-hmm. because I think this kid's a future star in the making.
Agreed.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm definitely supporting him because of, you know, not only am I a fan of him as a person and also a skill set, but, you know, he's local. So,
yeah.
And they show us love.
That too. So. And I think I'm more of a fan, though. His skill set is true, but I think I'm more a fan of the individual. You know what I'm saying? I just like hearing the dude talk. Dude is an intelligent young man. So like you said, man, and he's local. So I just think the sky's the limit with that dude, man. Real talk. All right. So, hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media, at AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Ampire Media shows as well as other great content. Again, we appreciate you all for listening. Make sure you keep tuning in. Tune in next week. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out big, homie.